Johnson. Care for a rundown?
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Something special is about to happen.
Are you waiting to receive my limp penis?
Very aroused.
It was better than later.
Yeah.
Yeah, g'day rubbers. Welcome back to the Weekly Rubdown, a podcast that rubs down everything NRL Supercoach. You're listening to the Round 8 Rubdown. I'm your host, Natty, and with me, as always, running shotgun in the Rubmobile, is the stats wizard, the sultan of the spread, king of calculations. Wooker, what's going on, mate?
Man, how are you? How are things? I had a look at a few news reports about a certain player in your team, getting close to seizing any injury.
I did warn you at the start of the season.
Like you've drafted like Wooker last year. Too many guys that are injury prone. JC's not doing it for you. Walker's back at least. That's a plus. That's a win.
Well, I'm a silver linings kind of guy. I'm a glass half full operator, if you will. So I'm thinking, Ponga, rest it up. Get good, bro. 2 months. That'll put you back round 20.
Getting far in for the finals.
Good to go. Make a run. Make a run in the finals. Me and UKP, let's go, baby. Now, if it comes out that he's out for 3 months, that could be an issue. But 2 months I can deal with. 2 months I'm okay with, because that gives him sort of three games back before the Supercoach finals, and then we're ripping it into him, baby. It'll be okay. I just got to get to the finals.
Look, the Liz Frank is the ACL of the ankle. It's of the foot. It's not an injury you want. Or a pec tear. Yep. Got a couple of those in my team too.
Yep, I am not happy about it. And yeah, the Liz Frank, the ACL of the foot, as Brian likes to say, the rehab is different from player to player. So it could be longer, could be earlier, we don't know. But yeah, rough. And KP was just hitting his straps as well. I've got Lomax, bro. If I didn't have Lomax, I would be in a world of hurt. And you watch, this is what I do. When I start getting injuries, bro, I just start betting. I bet hard and I try and bet my way out of these fucking holes. There's only two ways it can go. I can continue to plummet to the center of the earth and be gone forever and come back in 2025. Or, bang, I'll be back a few weeks.
Yeah.
Bada bing, bada boom. One Reuben Cotter on the weekend. It's a nice little get for my front row forward spot.
Reuben Cotter came from way back. So he's been in your team almost every season. So it's like coming home.
It's been pretty consistent
this year. Yeah, he hasn't scored a lot, but definitely if you play him in your front row forward, which you will because you desperately needed one. Perfect get. Great get.
Oh, God. Well, what an intro. Yeah. So this rough. This rub is brought to you by our Patreon, the Rub Club. Guys, it's humming. The stats are statting. We've got 6-round average sheets up now. We've got strength of schedules coming into play. It's unbelievable. And look, we're going to go through some injuries and suspensions in a minute, but after that, Wooker and I are going to run you through the strength of schedule sheets because we are actually using them hard at the moment. I've obviously got KP out. I'm looking for a fullback replacement. Walker has Jamal Fogarty out long term, so he's looking for a halfback replacement. So we're looking at strength of schedule. We are using these sheets to help our own teams. So we're going to run you through some of the decisions that we need to make, how we're going to make them with the strength of schedule sheets, and so give you an example of how to use them, because I mean, it's the tippity top of stat sheets, isn't it?
Yeah, and one of the key things is like a lot of it's form based as well, so that's why we do release it throughout the season. So teams will change. We've seen obviously Canberra; they've lost their halfback. They're going to have very different attack and very different defensive structures, especially on that right edge. So yeah, the strength of schedule changes with those sort of updates. It's not just a sit pick and stick thing that that we whack in at the start of the season based on who we think might be playing all right. It's actually got some key stats that feed into it.
Yeah, it's very sexy, very arousing, dick extending. It's the best. All right, let's get into some injuries.
I'm still alive.
How long have you got?
So, Jesus. The big one. We just talked about it. Ponga, 2 to 3 months with a Lisfranc. Yeah. So, what we got? Dave Armstrong comes in for him.
Yeah.
For the Knights there. So, not a little pickup there if you're the Ponga owner, handcuff him with Armstrong. I did touch base with the rugby league guru about Armstrong, asked him about how he's been going in resis. Big fan of him, plenty to like about him. So that's
he's definitely more of a good thing. The finisher type. I'm not sure how much on a creative sense. Like, we obviously know Ponga's left to right pass and things like that. And his right to left is insane. And he's got a bit of a kicking game and all that sort of stuff. So I'm not sure how Armstrong will go in that respect. I thought that Will Price would probably be a better fit for like replacement. But yeah, we'll see how the young kid goes. Like, he absolutely nailed it in prelims. So yeah. So look,
he's good in the trials.
He could go all right. It's going to be a tough ask replacing a player of Ponga's prowess. It's just. If you're a best owner, you're hating life. If you're 100%. A Marju owner, you're hating life. If you're a KPP owner, it's not the best thing in the world to happen.
No, exactly. Jamal Fogarty, your boy, 12 weeks ruptured bicep.
And if you're a Milk fan, not fantastic either. Kyle Weeks comes in and look, he's not necessarily an organising half, and I don't think Ethan Strange is an organising half. So I think it's I'm a little bit concerned with their spine now. We started in the preseason by pointing out that their spine is very, very lacking in
experience
and skill. So
shit.
Look, and that was with Rapana. So you take Rapana out. We've now got Stewart in there. Who, look, he's not going poorly. He's just not setting the world alight and not really having any attacking spark. And look, I don't think he'll be loud enough in defence either. So setting up your defensive lines and things like that. So I think there's a few problems to be had for the Raiders coming up. And my team.
Yes. Tavita Totola, 12 weeks, fractured foot. Now, this is interesting with Tavita Totola going down because there is going to be some minutes that are going to be shared around there in the Bunnies pack, which might, you know, throw up a couple of guys for a free agent pickup in your front row forward spots.
Shaq Mitchell usually gets some decent PPM going. I don't think he's got the motor to really make him too relevant, but... Look, Turgis is starting and, yeah, he might be one. But look, if I'm honest, Moali off the bench, if he was starting, I'd be very interested because he's got a bit about him. But, yeah, it's not really one that
David Moali.
Forwards and they haven't really hit the mark for the last few seasons. I had high hopes for Totola coming into this year after hopefully coming through injury-free through the preseason. But, yeah, it's just not really worked out.
Joy Arrow in the 17 jersey as well. Yep. One to keep an eye on there as he comes back from injury. Tyrone Munro, collarbone, 8 weeks. Terrible for the young fella. He's going to spend some more time on the pine. Yeah, real bad, bro. So this is a good question to answer here. I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen here. Yeah. Obviously, you've got Milne and you've got Gagai on the wings. Who plays what edge, bro? Do you have any inclination about how this is going to shape out?
And Milne plays left. He has played both sides. I've only seen Gagai play right. But look, if I'm honest, whoever's running up against Milne is always a chance for meeting. Whoever's running up against the edge that has White on it, it's always a chance to get meet as well. So I think there's a few defensive liabilities there, and yeah.
I'm sort of more looking at the guy who's running at Will Warbrick. I want to know who that is.
Bad defense. It's been fucking awful to watch. I think there's going to be a few
if that's Tane Milne on the left edge.
both ways.
I like Milne. Oh yeah. All right, let's start ripping through these. We've got Jaden Campbell, obviously PCL four weeks out.
AJ Brimo's back at fullback.
Have they gone with?
So they did a few switcheroos. They had Semi at fullback. He was a laid out. He's actually not in the in the extended squad at all. So it's obviously he's re-aggravated something, and they've recalled Tanner Boyd into the halves.
Mm. Yep. Okay. Yep. Cool. Chris Patolo with an MCL that really doesn't fucking affect anyone. Bryce Cartwright out with, which Cartwright, it's the ribs.
It's usually
I couldn't find any information about it, but I assume it's because of the ribs.
Madison just comes in as a direct replacement there, but Maddo's scoring has been fucking awful. Mm. He's available on a lot of waivers. It's not one that I could do personally.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's better 2RF options out there this season. Yeah, it is.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
You almost have to pick him up 60 because of his
off the bench, like you've won the lotto. It's amazing. But do we think that he's going to get back there? That's the question. Like when there's so many injuries at the moment, it's tough to keep him.
Who knows? I mean, I dropped him. Mm. And then Tricky Trindle blows heavy in the bag, pisses hot on the side of the road. No good. No bueno for Tricky Trindle. Try to be tricky. Try to be too tricky, old Trindle, but no go. So the boys in blue got him.
Daniel Atkinson comes in. I actually saw him play over the weekend for Newtown, so I was expecting either him or Dykes to get a run. The other option there was also Puru, has a lot of raps on him as a junior. So look, Atkinson, I think he played... I think it was round four, only for like a handful of minutes. So he's got some NRL experience. So I don't think he'll be too overawed. But he's that type of organising half that'll help.
I like his matchup this week. I'll be talking a little bit about him very soon. No head knocks, which was surprising coming out of the weekend. Ones to watch week is Dane Gagai with his calf. He's obviously named to start. Dylan Edwards with the hammy as well. He's named. Sean Johnson has been managing a painful Achilles issue. Gutho with his knee. Apparently he's getting it drained a lot. He's having pain and swelling issues with that knee. Jack Bird, he's listed in reserves. Albert Hopewadi listed in reserves as well. Albert Hopewadi is a big one for Schiller owners, especially in Classic as well. Everyone's got Schiller in Classic. And if Hopper comes into this side, you would expect Schiller will drop out of this side. So that will have big implications there. Suspensions. What about this one? Jack Hetherington punching on in the tunnel. I love it. I'm all about it. I mean, I don't care if he was mucking around or if he was serious. I just like that there was a little hooker on the field yapping his fucking gums.
It was Marty.
And having a dig. And Jack was like, you know what? Yeah. For sure. And Jack's like, nah, like, I'll see you in the tunnel, cunt. And by all reports, Jack can throw hands. I think
there was a thing that Gould was saying where he said, you can't solve everything with your fists. If you keep it up, I'll take you down to one of the local gyms and I'll get one of those guys and they'll sort you out. And he goes, well, they'll try. Oh, fucking hell. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, he's a scary man. A lot of blokes returning in round eight. We've got Brendan Piakura, Payne Haas, Adam Reynolds, Albert Hopewadi listed in reserves, obviously, Sienna Katoa, Royce Hunt listed in reserves, Connolly Lemuelu listed in reserves, Nathan Cleary, that's a massive one, Dom Young, Sam Walker, Dylan Walker, Micah Sivo, a lot of guys returning. So a really big week in rugby league circles and super coach circles.
There's a couple other ones you missed.
That's the ins, that's the outs, that's the injuries. Let's have a little bit of
there's a positional switch for Jesse Arthurs to go into the centers, and then Dean Mariner comes back as well onto the right wing. Ezra Mam's out as well.
Mariner.
A-Ray comes in, and Madden just changes sides. Yeah,
just apparently just niggling injuries that they need to take a week off. And why not take a week off while you play the Tigers? It's a pretty easy one there, pretty a no-brainer. Okay, so let's get into our dilemmas at the moment for the Eskimo Bros and the Notarizers. So at the moment, like we alluded to earlier, I'm without Ponga for 2-3 months. You're without Jamal Foggy for 2-3 months. So now we have to work out what we're going to do here. First up, I didn't realize KL Iro is a fullback. I only realized that this afternoon, and I was like, holy fuck, that's good.
I thought you were in a talisman for no reason. You've got coverage for the next few weeks if you need it anyway.
No, I'm happy. But I'm still going to pick up a fullback regardless. Because I do want to have that rotation in my CTW. So I've got a healthy rotation of some guys there. I've got Lomax, I've got RTS, I've got Timoko, and I've got KL Iro. That's working well for me. And the fact of the matter is there's a lot of good quality guys that are available on waivers now in the fullback position. So, for example, you know, I'm looking at probably, you know, the strength of schedule sheet that's round 9 to 16 first. So first up, what I do is I have a look at the overall. So, you know, there's Fuller, there's you got Armstrong for the Knights, you've Atkinson. Got the young yeah, bloke just coming for back, the Sharks as well. Atkinson, they're probably the So, which is tasty. Holy fuck, that's good. So, they're the sort of three main teams that I'll be looking at. So, I go to the overall strength of schedule, rounds 9 to 16. Dolphins got the 9th. Knights have got the 14th. And Sharks got the 16th. So, you would say Dolphins is probably the pick of the litter there. Then, I go over to the fullback sheet and have a look at those guys and what their strength of schedule from round 9 to 16 is looking like. So, Trey Fuller has the 12th best strength of schedule. You've got that Atkinson's going to be a left half. I'll have a look at him in a minute. And then I've got Armstrong, who's got the 10th best. So it's not, I mean, it's not great. If I had to go anyone, it looks like I'd probably steer towards Trey Fuller. Now, Atkinson is a left half, so he's got the 7th best strength of schedule. So all of a sudden I'm going, okay, halfback, fullback, dual eligible. Atkinson, I'm not sure how long, you know, Tricky Trindle's going to be out. If he gets charged, I would think that'd be a while. You've also got the Sharks being one of the top Supercoach attacking teams in the comp. Atkinson comes onto the left. Sharks have the best left scoring team, both for percentages of tries scored and for Supercoach points scored on the left. He's going to go out there. So now I'm starting to lean towards Atkinson and picking him up, especially this week. I really love his matchup this week. Yeah. We've got a bet this week. I could use him in that bet as well. I could bring him in and use him in that bet to maybe try and win that and have little to no risk playing him because I've just picked him up off waivers. So that's sort of where my mind's going. But then I always like to go, okay, look, Ponga's out for longer than 9 to 16. So let's have a little bit of a peek into round 17 to 22, which will get me to the point where Ponga is hopefully back. So those teams, again, Sharks have got the 3rd best strength of schedule. Dolphins 7th, Knights 9. So again, I'm probably looking at more the Sharks and Dolphins here. Let's have a look at fullback. Yeah, Trey Fuller 3rd, but he probably won't be there. Hammer will be back by this point, so he's probably null and void. You've got the Knights fullback has the 11th best strength of schedule, so Armstrong there, 11th best. Left half has the 11th best strength of schedule. So I think the winner here for me is Atkinson. I just have to maybe pick him up and hope to God that he can secure that spot, play really well with Hines, that left edge can keep humming. I mean, another guy that I could maybe look at is Cody Nikorima. Maybe he's available in waivers. I can play him at fullback as well. The Dolphins have gone really well. Like, he's got the 9th best strength of schedule from round 17 to 22, and the, just get it up here, left half. Yeah, like he's not basically the 5th strength of schedule from round 9-16. So
yeah,
maybe Cody Nikorima is not a bad pickup as well. So That was just me doing that off the dome, just looking at these sheets live as I'm looking through them, just talking through them. Cody Nikurima, Atkinson, these are guys that I'll probably target in the waves this week to plug that gap while KP is out. Now, of course, if you have a league like ours where there's always some good gear on the waivers and on free agents, I might be able to pick up Atkinson this week, play him in good matchups, and then next week might be able to drop him and pick up Trey Fuller or maybe play Cody Nikurima, just because there's so much fluidity in the players that are dropped in and on waivers. And maybe my fallback spot can be just a streamable spot from henceforth. And I just use the matchup sheets and the stat sheets, the ranking sheets, the weekly matchups that are available on the Patreon to select my fullback each week. So I've got some decisions to make. I've got some work to do. But like as I say each year, it's shit when this stuff happens, right? It's shit when good players go down. It's shit when you're up against it. But at the same time, it's exciting. This is when the real super coach happens. This is when you really have to start playing. This is when, because I haven't really had to use the stat sheets all that much.
This is when your season's made.
Yeah, go.
When you have to come up against this type of adversity.
Hundred percent, man. And it's exciting. This is draft, baby. This is good. Now I'm starting to talk to teams. I'm starting to formulate trades. I'm starting to sort of package up some guys. I'm working, baby. I'm out there fucking putting the work in, son. So yeah, that's when these fucking stat sheets, they just pay dividends. So, bro, talk us through your mindset at the moment with Jamal Fogarty, with these strength of schedule sheets. How are you going to attack it? How are you looking at it? Because chances are you're probably not going to have Jamal Fogarty until finals start.
So
you've got to pick a halfback that's going to get you to the finals.
Fullbacks. Because look, it's Bear Grylls out there for fullbacks. So I'm looking more along the lines of setting up a trade in the next few weeks. So it's about looking at teams that have halfbacks that they've been streaming, streaming a few different players in there, and potentially looking to lock up a trade for. So there's a guy who has Burton. He's got a couple of other options there. There's another guy who's got DC and someone else. So looking at options of who I can package up from my bench to have a bit of value, because I've got a bit of decent value on my bench that I can't play each week. So it makes sense to try to package those guys up. In the interim, I'm looking at guys like, and this is a difficult thing. It's Tanner Boyd, effectively, is the him or Atkinson is pretty much the premium options to look at. So it's not fantastic, but it's definitely a good time for me to have saved my waivers. So I'm second priority in the waivers, so that helps. So whoever I pick, I'm almost guaranteed to get. So that's one good thing. But it's looking at the sheets for a few different horizons. So for the next 6 weeks out towards round 14, round 16, and then that run the table leading into the finals is definitely the two that I'm looking at. But I think from my side, it's in the interim, it's going to be looking at matchups each week just to see who's got the better schedule. And look, it might be the case that whoever I pick up this week, I might drop in a couple of weeks if I can manage to sort out a trade. If not, I might be AEing the position. Haven't fully decided that yet, because I don't have a strong hooker at the moment. I'm just running with cheese. So, I'll be betting pretty hard in the next few weeks once I get all my cattle on the field, for sure.
I like that. Now, is your team set up for like an AE? Like, could you AE that position straight away? Like, how's your bench?
I would have said yes.
Or would you be happy to AE that
the buy situation as it stands? My second front row forward is on the buy, and Flegler is injured at the moment, so no dice on that. So we'll have to do some work on the waivers. Yeah, definitely.
Mate. Yeah, okay. Ooh.
Look, and the fact
let
that
the fucking fact that games watched, begin, bro. It's all happening.
probably leans into the fact that I'll probably pick him, if I'm honest. It's
let me just scribble his name out of my notepad here because I won't be getting him. Fuck.
Did
I say he had a good strength of schedule? I mean, he's got a really shit strength of schedule.
He's a bit young, a bit green, so he might be next season. I genuinely thought that Cade Dykes might be the one to get the nod, but yeah, they've gone in a different direction. They see him more as a fullback nowadays.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, yep, that was a nice little chat there. Mm. Again, guys, the strength of schedule stuff, it's unbelievable. Like, you just get it up, and as I'm looking at it now, you're looking at rounds 9 to 16. Every single position is ranked for their strength of schedule. So, meaning the teams that are conceding points to conceding points that specific position. So when you look at fullback, you know, Dylan Edwards has the best strength of schedule for fullbacks. That's because from rounds 9 to 16, he's coming up against oppositions that as a collective are averaging less than the other fullbacks in that list. So he's got a really good list of favorable matchups coming forth. And that's fullback, left wing, left center, right wing, left half, right half, all the way through, guys. You will not find a more comprehensive strength of schedule sheets here than anywhere else.
It's taken us a while to get where we are, though.
Hands down, so the best.
It's a lot of checks and balances over the last few years to get them humming. And as soon as we got them humming, that's when we started the Patreon.
Mm. Blood, sweat, and tears, baby. That's it. All right, that's fucking it. Let's start rubbing down some of these games, bro. Let's get into it.
Stats, records, rankings, weather.
I know the team.
These games are a burial, a blowout, a human lock.
I know these players.
All you gotta do is bet on the win.
I know this wonderful game called football.
Let's get on with a rub down.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Anzac Day, big day of footy, three games back to back to back. First one will be Thursday, 2 p.m., Warriors v. the Titans at Go Media Stadium. This will be huge over there, big game. Now, Warriors coming off a really disappointing loss last week against the Dragons, which fucked all my bets. All my bets went poo-poo because of the Warriors. Thanks, guys. So I expect them to bounce back in this one. The Tits are conceding the most Supercoach points while scoring the second most. So it's a really good Supercoach matchup to start the round. Mm. The Wars right edge attack is where the matchup lies. Titans left, you've got Kelly, 8 tries conceded, 23 missed tackles. Camperera has come back on that left edge, 13 missed tackles, 6 tries conceded, 7 line breaks conceded in 5 games for a winger. That's fucking impressive, bro. Yes, you can score tries, but holy fuck, that is impressive to do as a winger, to be that bad in defense. Ugh, gross. Even Dave Fifita, in the 4 games that he's played, and he's played less minutes, 6 missed tackles, 3 line breaks conceded. So that left is disgusting, right? DWZ is almost a full-time butcher here, statistically. He is bagging, beating meat in this game. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a triple. C&K should have a really good game here as well. Titans, they have been waving the white flag against fullbacks this year. Fullbacks averaging 90 against the Titans. They've leaked at least one try to a fullback in every game bar one this season. So C&K, right edge sweep, DWZ scoring tries. I can see it now. I can picture it now. Honestly, even when you look at the other side of the field, you know, Firm is over there now, so I reckon someone on the left for the Warriors is going to play well. You know, Firmer and Boyd have combined for 38 missed tackles, 14 tries conceded, and 15 line breaks conceded. Mm-hmm. I mean, wherever the Warriors decide to attack, they're going to have success. So, Tamara Martin, RTS maybe. Either way, I think that there's a huge big bounce back game here on the cards for the Wars, but I'm really looking at DWZ. Yeah. And C&K to fire in this one. Just a note, be careful of SJ with that Achilles. Well, I wouldn't be VC.
The easy money's
him,
on
but,
DWZ.
Just be wary of that.
I do reckon
what's
C&K,
your top
like
matchups
before,
in this game, Wook?
A bit of a smoky, though. Wade Egan. He's going to cause some absolute havoc through the middle. Him and his right hand man, AFB, they're going to be getting some meat between those two for sure.
Yep. Yeah. I do like Egan's been playing out of his head, doesn't he? And AFB, I mean, obviously, Titans are weak up the middle as well. So, I mean, it's all Warriors, isn't it? It's Waz. As for
draft moves,
waivers or free agents, anything that you like in this game, bro? Not a lot. I'm just quickly looking at now. A lot of the guys are pretty highly owned.
Sometimes a couple of 50 games in there. And look, for this matchup specifically, if they do go left, Marcelo Montoya might be on the end of a nice few sweeps for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Jamin Joloff, we continue to talk about him and how solid he has been. Tino, without him in the side, we thought the minutes would go to Moeika Fatawaka. We were wrong there. It's all going to Jamin Joloff.
It's outrageous.
He's got, his PPM is all right. It's about one, but he's getting like 55 to 60 minutes week in, week out. So if he's available, you've got to fucking get him. It's crazy. Other than him, there's nothing really to like. I mean, VC's a Reezy, DWZ, ZK.
So a couple of rubbers, longer term value as well, because we've got Capewell out for long term. And then you've also got Niokore who's out until I think around 14. So Laban might have an extended period down on that right edge. So. Running at Dave Fafeta, like you mentioned, has some deficiencies in defense. Cool. Look, he could be a good plug-and-play start in this one. But look, the key matchup is actually with Jackson Ford if you're looking at the edge back rowers. Oh, big time. Big time.
Okay, Labor, nice. Shout out to the Rubbers. Fuck yeah. Helping the boys out. We need all the help we can get on this podcast.
I think
guys.
It's more just due to
get
involved. How long he'll be in the
Let us know what's going on. If there's some cunt that gets named and it sounds like we don't know who he is or who she is, then we'll see fucking if that let us know. Getting some Give meat. Us the heads up. Yep. Cool. Let's move on to the next game. Thursday, 4:05, Dragons v. Roosters Allianz Stadium. My favorite game of the year is this one. I used to go to this one every single year. Anzac Day, Dragons v. Roosters. This is an absolute clanger. And obviously the Dragons coming off a really good win against the Warriors. Roosters get some troops back. It's always a close affair anyway, but it seems like I'm getting the vibe right now that this is going to be a close game even more so this year, right? So not a really good statistical game here. Nothing shows up for me for edge versus edge. It's sort of like, the Dragons are strong down there, right? Actually really fucking strong. They're scoring 75% of their tries down there, right? It's ludicrous. But the Roosters, they're weak on their right and vice versa. So it doesn't quite match up there. For the Roosters, like I'm looking at that Suoliti, Tupu, Kiri edge because obviously the Dragons are going to want to push down that right edge attack. Those guys have combined for 14 tries conceded, 34 missed tackles, and 13 line breaks conceded. Not overly bad, but due to how dominant the Dragons are, down that right edge, it may be enough there for them to find success. Lomax, he is the Dragons attack. Simple as, full stop, exclamation mark. Every play, every kick, it is funneled through him. I don't care if he's got a red box with a minus fucking 50 next to his name. He will play well, he will perform, and he'll be up for this one. On the other side of the ball, it's glaringly obvious that the same attacking prowess for the Dragons is super weak in defense. So Hunt, Sewer, Bird, Lomax, that edge is really deficient in defense. Hunt, Sewer, 40 missed tackles between the two. 12 tries conceded. So could this be Gussie's game? Kind of like Gussie here. Yeah. The short ball from Kiri. He loves that. Gussie running at Hunt. Sua's not going to be able to help him. They're both turnstiles. So statistically, it's not there. Like, the numbers don't match up, but I can just see Gussie having a really good game. This could be his easy explosion game where he scores a try and scores over 100 super coach points. I could see it happening. And just one extra tidbit here, and I had to do my study for the Chase Your Losses podcast here, trying to pick a bet.
That's interesting.
Just something to take away, put in your back pocket here. Manu has scored
turns up
for the Anzac Day games. Five tries over the last four years on the Anzac Day game, the Anzac Day Cup between Dragons and Roosters. Very fucking interesting, man. So Manu, he does. He does, bro. Man, so look,
I'm half thinking
there's a lot of things at play in this game. Nothing sort of jumps off the page to me statistically, but it's going to be a great game. It's going to be a fucking wicked game.
I was there last year.
What do you like here, Walker?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling you, bro. It is the best game ever. I've been
grand finals.
It's the best. Like, if you're in Sydney, you're listening to this one, you can get to this game. This is an epic game. Big vibes.
Walker as well on that right. I think he's gonna have a bit of opportunities. Kicking cross field possibly to Soliti. I think there's definitely going to be some joy on that left edge coming up against that really, really weak weak edge of Lomax and Ravalawa, or Lomax and Bird. No matter who that combination is, it's just going to lead us to tries. But yes, for mine, Soliti and Teddy are probably the top matchups there statistically. But definitely lean into what you were saying about Gussie. I think there's real potential there.
Yeah, I like Gussie. I'm big on Gussie. Your sort of waiver pickups, so free agent pickups. Now, we were talking about Raymond Fatala Mariner. What's going on there? I actually don't know.
Sorry, Leilua comes back. I don't know where RFM Connor fits into that back line.
Okay.
That back row, sorry. Whether he goes to lock, which he was there, or whether he just goes back to the bench. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he'll be out. Yep. He won't be. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I don't mind him as a play while Lucy Liu is out. The other guy that impressed me last week is Hame Sele. Got 56 minutes, I think. Did plenty with those minutes as well. So... you might want to look at.
It's been yoga minutes,
but other than
it?
That, there's not a lot available here for sort of under 35%. Terrell May owners would be pissed off with the minutes he's getting at the moment. I've got no news for you, but yeah. I tell you what. Yes, Kalen Ponga is injured,
for sure.
But there have been plenty of things go right for me this season, right? So, lost Marzu, got RTS, that worked out for me. Lost Terrell May, got Ruben Cotter. That seems like it's worked out for me as well. So, I'll count my wins when I can fucking get them at the moment. But yeah, it's weird because actually I was listening to the Bloke in the Bar podcast and Timmy was talking about, he was sort of bringing up the correlation with Terrell May's minutes and how the Roosters have been playing and their wins. And when he plays big minutes, when he plays above 50 minutes, they win games. When he plays below 50 minutes, they lose games. So, yeah. I don't know. And the boys are talking about it as well. They're like, is there something going on there that he's not doing, whether it's like his attitude or what he's doing at training, just some things that he needs to work on that Robbo's picking up where he doesn't like. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but
to use for
Supercoach owners. Like, and, I mean, most of us Xavier probably Willison, own him in Classic as
for God's
well.
Sake, which, Sam Hughes, I played him 1 week because of the Maxi King injury, but fuck it. The only player he's kept all the way through has been Tyrell May. And look, I thought it was a genius move having him from the start of the season, but now I'm reconsidering. He's looking like a sell target in the next couple of weeks because, look, Spenny Lenny comes back in round 10 or is it round 11? And Watt's actually been Watt's been impressive. Though.
Yeah, it's getting close,
very,
isn't it?
Very
yeah,
impressive.
And you would think he comes straight back into this pack, and just looking at this pack, you would think they keep Connor Watson as 14. You got White, cool Egan, part. Butcher, it's and May cool there.
Yeah.
Like maybe White looks good. White really hard to handle. So yeah, so it's not yeah, it's not boding well for May, but. Yeah, who knows? All right, let's move on to the next game. Thursday, 7:50 p.m. Storm v Bunnies, Amy Park. Bunnies, okay, yeah. They've been putrid. They've been passed this year. We know that. Storm are humming. This is a big matchup game statistically, though. Bunnies conceding the second most Supercoach points. That makes this a fantastic Supercoach game for the Storm. Love the Storm right attack here. Bunnies left has been lit up this year so far, leaking 50% of their tries to right attacks.
That's fucking
Jack
unreal.
Whiten, let's put the fucking spotlight on this bloke.
I mean,
averaging this is what he's averaging per game.
Like,
two tries conceded, two line breaks conceded, and three missed tackles.
How is he not the one who's been dropped and Cook was dropped? Like, come on.
It's pus, bro. It's pus. It's absolute pus.
Mm.
Oh, bro, we're investigating him now. It's terrible. Right. I guess because the only thing they're doing in attack is through him, so they're like, fuck. What do we do here? Yeah. But even then, like Jack Whiten, you got Keon Komatangi standing there, so four tries conceded and 12 missed tackles for Keon Komatangi. And whoever has come in at that left wing has been terrible. I mean, Alex Johnston looks like an edge back rower. That's how slow he's been this year. And whoever's come in to replace him has done a terrible job as well. So I expect that this Storm right eats in this one. It's an absolute sieve. So Hughes, he has the Storm's right attack just humming at the moment. It's a perfect mashup. So, especially between him and Warbrick, both statistically sound here. They qualify for what we call in our try-scoring stats a royal flush. So, it's when all the stats line up. You know, dominant attacking edge meets a weak edge. He's scoring a lot of tries. They're conceding a lot of tries to that specific position. It's a perfect storm for try scorers. So Warbrick, Hughes, I really like those as an ATS. Hughes as a little bit of a smoker there to get a bit of value. I do like him. On the other side of the ball, it's pretty much anyone running at Warbrick. I said this earlier. He has 13 missed tackles and 10 tries conceded, 12 line breaks conceded for the year. Meany next to him, he's not helping the case either. He has 17 missed tackles and 9 line breaks conceded. So Jack Whiten could be up for a big game here. And whoever plays that left wing, I'll be putting a tasty little ATS on. So we're thinking it's going to be Milne. And if it's Milne, I do like him because all he has to do is just tiptoe down the fucking sideline because Warbrick will be 50 meters in somewhere doing something. I don't know what he's doing in there, but he's definitely not marking up on the wing. The Bunnies left. It does
That's
have
worse
the,
than the Broncos
the,
record.
The matchup here. But just another tidbit from the Chasey Losses podcast study that I've been doing.
Holy
Bunnies
shit.
Have never beaten the Storm at home.
Surely that can't be.
Never.
Right.
That's Amy Park. Yeah, bro, that's zero wins at Amy Park. That's zero wins at Olympic Park. They have never.
Oh,
I checked. They have won.
Holy shit.
They have
shit.
One win that has been
that's an
in the
it's,
that's
stat.
In the results and it's holy marked
shit.
Down
I thought
as
the Broncos record of
Storm
not,
home,
not winning there for like Suncle. 11 years or whatever was bad.
It's actually in Melbourne. Must...
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So they've never beat Melbourne.
It's not
in
looking
Melbourne.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
bro.
You hit the nail on the head with Jerome Hughes. That's yeah. that's an absolute set and forget.
I'm here all day, baby.
And yeah, Will Warbrick has a fucking fantastic. Whoever lines up in the left wing has a fantastic matchup, whether it be Jacob
not
Gagai
looking good, bro.
Or Tane.
What's your
Mill.
Top matchups, bro?
Look, Gagai's a decent finisher. I'm not. I've only seen him in the one game, and I can't remember mm-hmm. whether he's a left or right hand carry. I'd imagine he's a left hand carry. I mean, sorry, a right-hand carry. So maybe he will be pushed on the other side because I think Milne can go a bit of both. But yeah, I think Hazard Grant, I think Harry, he's going to be in for a big one as well. So Bunnies have conceded 70 points to oppose hookers. I think there's going to be a bit of a roll on. They've obviously got Nass back, Christian Welsh off the bench. Joshy King's been going all right. And Trent Liero's been doing some work through the middle as well. Bunnies have just lost to Tola. They have been historically weak in this area for the whole season so far. They're coming up against the best defensive team for points considered to full, front row forward and hookers. So, yeah, I think this one's going to be one through the middle and then spread to the edges. So there could be a few pieces there for Harry Grant owners.
Ooh, Hazard. And I mean, for classic players as well, you know, a lot of us are trying to look at when we're going to get Harry Grant in. You know, if you're sitting with Lussick now with the hands coming into that Parramatta side and Levi sort of bottoming out as well. You've got to make some moves at hooker. So Harry Grant's about to go ballistic, I reckon. You know, with Nelson of Sofasola Mona back in this side, I think this Storm team's going to go to another level. And I think Harry Grant's going to start playing some really good football. You know, you've got Origin around the corner. That's when players start sort of going, okay, I need to start picking my game up here, start getting ready for the big stage. And yeah, Grant could be that guy that's going to go to the next level. Okay, so for waiver wire free agent draft moves for this game, bro, Storm and Bunnies, what are you thinking? Obviously, we've got Gagai coming back in for the Bunnies. Milne's there. Yeah. I mean, fucking Bunnies. Gross.
I mean, like that left edge is on its day one of the best edges in the league, but they haven't had any of those days this season. It's all the attacks being funneled through Jackie Wharton. It's not really coming off the end of good play. It's just like Wharton's solo effort. So, look, if Will Warbrick's available, yeah, he's one to look at. Jacob Gagai on the other side of the fence is definitely one to look at. Look, yeah, I mean, Trent Liero is probably out of reach for most people. He's performed.
Sure.
Like I think actually Trent Liero is just under 35% owned for some reason. So he's definitely one that you can pick up and he gets you 50 to 55 each and every week. Sean Blore, yeah, he's sailed past the 40%, so he's a bit hard to get. But yeah, it's, look, Jai Gray, if he was playing in a better team.
I've got Blore at 30%. He's still under 35%.
What?
Yeah. I don't know why people haven't picked him up. Come on, guys. 80-minute back row, left edge.
That's ridiculous.
Storm.
Yeah.
Go get him. But yeah, I love Warbrick as a streaming play this week. Like I mentioned at the start there, the Bunnies left edge has just been fucking lit up this year. Warbrick will get one. I will be betting on him to score a try in this one. Two or more, not a bad shout either. Yeah, that's probably it for this game, bro. Let's keep it rolling into the next game. Friday, 8 p.m., Manly v. Eels, Four Pines. So for this one, I do like the Manly's right attack here. I think that has the matchup. You've obviously got Harper and Sivo out there. They're big target for attacking right edges. Harper has just been an absolute well, we did call him a turnstile, but now we're just calling him a bollard at the moment because he doesn't have any arms to tackle with. Manly, heavily dominant down their right. They're scoring 53% of their tries down that edge. You've also got some fresh blood coming in for the Eels as well. So you've got Ethan Sanders that's going to be lining up out there on the left as well. Yep. So new combinations, Harper, Sanders, Sivo. It just doesn't spell defensive cohesion to me. There's going to be dramas out there. I love Ruben Garrick statistically. He just stands up massively in this game. Saab is another one here on the right edge. Turbo's always up for one, of course. But yeah, I just think that right edge for Manly is going to be right up here. I think the big dicks, all the big dicks from Manly on that right edge will be right up for it. One of them's going to blow. One of them's going to come all over this Eels left edge defense, and it's going to be messy. It's going to be messy, bro. What do you like?
Yeah, look, I 100% agree. I think Garrick's the pick of the bunch, definitely. I think Luke Brooks and DC will definitely get in there. I think there's probably going to be one of those games where I think one of the halves will score a try as well, so get your ATSs out for that. But yeah, on the other side, there are a couple of matchups there. So Ethan Sanders has a bit of a matchup, Guffer has a bit of a matchup. But I mean, with the way it was performing, what they've been putting on the park, it's really hard to get around them at the moment. And like they just seem very lost without Moses in the side. And yeah, I think that's been brought to bear a fair bit. They looked a little bit better with Arzy, but I mean, they were still getting owned last game.
Fucking oath, man. Yeah. Fucking oath. So Manly to win here and win well. Mm-hmm. Parramatta have just been atrocious.
Hashtag Manly 13 plus.
Oh no. Oh no. I hate to say it. I actually can't say it. But yeah, I don't disagree. So waiver pickups, free agents, draft moves. With Hands coming onto the bench here.
That's and gross, isn't it?
Matto playing edge. Top good owners like myself are just rejoicing in the streets. We are celebrating these moves. This is going to be huge for Hopgood. Like up until this week, I mean, you and I were talking about Hopgood as a flip target, moving him on. As these troops are coming back, are going to be hard to come by. Now, we might see the best of Hopgood now.
There was no sign of Hands on the bench in weeks gone by. And now things have returned. Maybe they've seen that that Joey's getting a bit tired and stuff during the game, and maybe he needs to be freshened up a little bit during the game. But yeah, it's an interesting one. But yeah, great for Matto and Hopgood owners moving forward if that's the case.
100%. Jason Saab, if he's available, he needs to be picked up. He's a perfect CTW rotation guy that you can start with good matchups like this one. Corey Waddell as well. We've talked about him a couple of times so far this season. With him on that left edge, I don't mind him as a low-end free agent claim there. Like, he's not going to be that huge upside try-scoring play, but he's got plenty of base about him.
Yeah. No, he's played a lot of lock when he was at the Doggies, and he's definitely the likely type when he's close to the line. But yeah, I mean, if you're going for an attacking stat, you're going to go for a Lukowato or someone like that.
For sure,
Bullimore has a bit about him as well. If he gets a sniff at a start, I'm all about him.
100. So Friday night, so you're still up for your VC plays. Obviously, Turbo, Garrick's a really big one. I like those two plays for VCs. Saab at a pinch, if you want to get a little bit wild there, but definitely Garrick or Turbo for me.
Yeah, I think Garrick, Turbo, DCE, it'd be the pick of the bunch on that one. A throw at the stumps, maybe Dylan Brown if they do turn up. But yeah, that's probably all from the Eels side.
Eels, man. They worry me. They fucking worry me. All right, let's get in the next game. Saturday, 5:30 p.m. Tigers v Broncos, Campbelltown Stadium. So, Broncos right edge has the matchup here statistically, but I looked back through the Tigers games and they've played some very dominant right edges. Some teams that are attacking predominantly down their right edge. That may have skewed stats here a little bit because when I looked into some of the missed tackles and the reads and line breaks conceded and stuff like that, Tigers are leaking on both edges, right? So I honestly, I don't care where the Broncos decide to swing the ball in this one. I think they'll find success. I like to go with the Broncos left because that's the more potent edge in attack. So, you know, I love Corey Oates maybe as a nice little ATS. Cobbo out there. Well, Cobbo's not playing. Walsh, 100% will have a good game in this one. A big watch here in this game is Payne Haas back, how that affects Carrigan and how that affects Willison. Because Willison is verging on, well, he is. He's a free agent pickup at your front row forward spot.
He's relevant at the moment, for sure.
Yeah. He's getting consistent minutes. He's getting consistent points. Like, he's getting between 45 and 50 points every game with that sniff of upside because they do like to use him close to the line. So I'm really keen. I'm a Willison owner. I'll be keeping a keen eye on how his minutes are affected with Payne Haas back. Now, if he's still pumping out 45 minutes, that's enough for me to keep Willison on my side.
Mm.
Now, if he drops down to back to those 30-minute games that he had at the start of the season, then he's droppable. So
Also,
Carrigan. Does Carrigan continue to play 80 minutes or does he go back to being that like 60, 65-minute guy? Because Carrigan's been fucking unstoppable with 80 minutes under his belt.
Pumping out those 70-point games left, right, and center.
Wild, man. Mm. Wild. So when I look at the Tigers, and like I said, I'm looking at who's missing tackles, who's letting in tries for Tarpe on this right edge defense. He has the second most missed tackles in the team. It's impressive for a center, 16, with 4 try conceded and 6 line breaks conceded. So alongside him, you've got Caesar with 15 missed tackles. You've got Staines with 4 tries conceded and 5 line breaks conceded. So surely you would think this Broncos left edge fires in this one. They get the job done. They get the job done handedly. And I'd just be back in the big dicks here. I mean, it's a Saturday game, so you can captain guys. So your Carrigans, your Payne Haases, your Reece Walshes are in play here. Who do you like, bro?
Yeah, I think Jordan Rickey's an interesting one. Just throwing at the stumps. But, yeah, I think they might get a bit of joy on that right edge, especially with Fainu. He hasn't he's played a lot through the middle this season. He comes in to replace Bateman, who goes into the lock spot. So Rickey will be running.
What do you think about that lock? With Bateman playing lock.
I'm surprised that they didn't try it earlier. I'm a huge fan of what he, because he almost plays like a lock when he sees the chips are down for the Tigers. He'll start to play like a bit of that ball playing lock. Start to do some freaky things on the field. I'm all about it. I think he's a fantastic lock, personally. And I think, it's definitely going to pay dividends. The problem is they don't necessarily have a really good fit for another edge back row now that they've lost Blaw south. So, look, Seyfarth, he does a job. He's quite good and he's handy in attack. But they're obviously giving Fainu a bit of a chance as well because he's shown his digs playing through the middle. So another one, D Mariner. I think he's going to have a good matchup against the rookie Solomon. You mentioned him before, so yeah, I do think that there's going to be a bit of joy there. And Isaiah Papali'i running it. It would have been running it the Mam and Brandon Pirikura corridor. I was all about that, but I'll pump the brakes on that one just because obviously Madden will move across to that left edge. I think it'll probably shore up that defense a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. For draft moves, I mean, Brendan Piakura back in this side. I think he needs to be picked up. Yeah. I think for a 1 week play, I do like Jock Madden up against this Tigers side. He looked really good last week. That's another play that I could go with this week as I could for this bet that we'll talk a little bit later about. But I could keep Jock Madden in my side and put him up as my spine player.
Yep.
Because it's just a free roll of the dice. He could score 60, 70 points and he'll be out of my side next week. So it's neither here or neither there. So yeah, I don't mind him as a 1 week play. Other than that, mate, Dean Mariner, if he was dropped,
I'd definitely be
picking him
up. I think Dean Mariner is the obvious one. And look, I think that there's probably going to be a bit of joy on both the left wing for the Tigers and the right wing for the Bronx. So that winger, Solomon, Solomon A is, I think he's going to.
Yeah.
And then I realized, no, I'm not going to give that a go because I don't want to fire that one up.
Alain Malo?
Oh, I would have gone Alain Malo.
Solomon Alain Malo.
Alain Malo. Alain Malo. He's, I think, obviously coming in to replace Junior Tupou. He's definitely going to have a bit of. A bit of joy up against Mariner. That edge has been a bit shaky in defense previously. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there.
So, for your VC captaincy options, Walsh, I think we're straddling that at the moment. Walsh, obviously, big time. Payne Haas back in the side. Be wary coming back from that injury.
Not on him.
Minutes could be clipped. Carrigan, for sure, could be a captaincy option. Yeah. Band on him. Other than those three guys, I'm not really interested. Let's keep it going here. Next game, Saturday, 7:35 p.m. Cows v Panthers, Queensland Country Bank Stadium. So big in. It's obviously Nathan Cleary. Cows have been leaking points everywhere. They're leaking ninth most Supercoach points. Panthers scoring the most Supercoach points. So it's a really good Supercoach game for the Panthers. Statistically, you would say that the Panthers' left edge has the matchup here. Cows are weak down their right, but does it matter? Panthers scoring 63% of their tries down their right. That's going to give you a little bit of a hint of where the ball's going to go in this one. Nathan Cleary, right edge player, comes back into the side. You would expect that not to change in this game. Taruva, he's up for this one. I do like that.
Yeah,
I mean, the left edge for the Panthers, it just falls apart when he gets to Luai. He tries that short ball to the back row that's never on, or he skips, he hops, he jumps, he jukes back inside, and that fucks the outer edge guys. Like, obviously, Brian To'o owners are watching Luai do that, and they're just screaming at the TV. Like, can't just give the fucking ball.
Yeah.
You do nothing with it when you've got it under your wing. So, yeah, that's a worry here because that's where the matchup is in this game against this Cows right edge defense. You got Dearden, 18 missed tackles. Holmes, 14 missed tackles on the left edge defense for the Cows. So maybe this right edge for the Panthers does eat. Taruva scores tries. That's what he does. Mm. And Isaiah, probably the safest captain option of the round.
You got to love the Christmas tree matchup.
He is juicy as fuck. Hint, little teaser here. I've brought Yo into my classic team this week.
Yeah.
I know he's expensive, but I've just done it. He's in. I'm rolling with him. He's an absolute weapon.
Yep.
Food for thought here, though. Townsend, 18 missed tackles, 9 tries conceded. So if Luai can get that short ball humming, maybe Sorensen is in for a big one if he can isolate him up against the Chad. Yeah. Because Chad isn't a big try-saving guy, old Chaddy.
No, he's not.
Sorensen will go fucking through him like a hot knife through butter. For the Cows, one thing they have got going for them is the Panthers' record at Queensland Country Bank Stadium is less than impressive. But, yeah, look, the Panthers substantially weaker versus left attack. So you got Val, Drinky, Valame. They're probably the guys you want to look at here, but it's an age-old rule. If you can sit players that are playing against the Panthers, do it, and definitely don't VC or captain players playing against the Panthers.
Yeah.
What are you
going to look? And you're looking like game 6 in the round. You've got to almost be captaincy options. Look, Nathan Cleary has a Christmas tree matchup as well, and look, he's coming up against the team that's conceded 71 points per game to right halves. In his first game back, I'd just be wary about putting the armband on him. I wouldn't be surprised. There is and for anyone who's making like classic trades, just be careful about bringing him into your classic side this week as well, because we've seen him be named and then be laid out and a switcheroo for Schneider. So I would be very hesitant because I initially when I saw him named, I was like, oh yeah, I'll just bring him in. How good? Because I got a bit of cash floating around. But I got burned on that last season where they named him and then it was 1 week away. And it was almost like that. It was all rumors that he was coming back next week. And then, no, he's re-injured or he's had a setback. So Look, don't be surprised if that's the case. But I think they'll be up for this one, and especially being Anzac round, maybe they will have a bit of a bit more about them. But yeah, we've seen Cleary be put on ice if they are in charge of the game as well. So
yeah,
that's another thing to consider.
Yeah, big time. Look, waiver wire free agents draft moves. Semi Valame, Tom Chester, these guys. Not a great start this week, obviously, because of the Panthers, but if they're available, I do like them as pickups. Because, look, the Cowboys are leaking a lot of points, but they're also scoring a lot of Supercoach points. So these guys are worth a pickup. Something to think about is Helam Lukey due back next week, round 9. So maybe you want to go a little bit early on him if you're desperate for a second rower. The other one, and this reminds me as well, is Jacob Preston is due back in round 9. So if someone has rage traded him out of their side, Dogs obviously on the bye this week, something to think about there. I'd be picking him up if he's been dropped. He's due back next week. But yeah, I mean, yeah, captaincy options, I'd be very wary, like you said, with Nathan Cleary. I'd be very wary with Dylan Edwards with that hammy injury cloud.
That is that Zayo call is just on the money.
Bang.
He's the set and forget captaincy option if you've got him in your side.
Yep. He's the number one captain in this game for sure. All right, let's get into the next game. Sunday, 2 p.m., Finns v. Knights, Suncorp Stadium. So we've obviously got the battle of the new look fullbacks here. So the Knights leaking third most Supercoach points. I like the Dolphins' left attack. It's weird this year. Dolphins' left attack scoring 52% of the tries in comparison to 16% down their right. That's super dominant. I'm sorry to say there, Sarko owners, but they are not giving the right edge ball at all.
Yep.
So I do like this left attack with the Finns. Dane Gagai is back here. He's been struggling with like a calf injury, I think. He's had 20 missed tackles, 4 tries conceded over 5 games. So interesting to see where Greg Marzu lines up as well in this game. Because holy fuck, he's a liability in defense. I was watching him last week. He's bad, man. 7 tries conceded in 4 games.
Yeah.
That is bad. He just got dusted on the weekend again and again and again. So be interested to see where they play him there, because he was back on the left on the weekend.
Yeah.
And he looked worse.
Yep, absolutely.
So I'm not sure what's going to happen there, but the reason I bring him up is I like whatever wing is running at him. Like if he ends up being on that right again for the Knights, Jack Bostock could be in for a triple. Either way, I do like Jack Bostock here. He'll be in for some meat for this one. For the Knights, I'm not confident in their attack without Ponga. They looked like pus when he went off the field on the weekend. Yeah. I think like you were saying earlier, I think all attacking players for the Knights will suffer.
Especially the only left-sided attacking players.
Best Marzu, if they're out there for sure, they will suffer 100%. The only guys that I can see maintaining or maybe going a little bit better are Hastings, because he'll have to lift and do more, and KPP.
And the goal kicking.
Yeah, yep. And Kaipi is poor because he exclusively runs off Hastings. So that little combo between Hastings and KPP might get a little bit better. Yeah. Might see a little bit more points for out of them, but everyone else will suffer. Both sides of the field, I think.
Yep.
The Knights in general will just suffer without him because he's so crucial to their attack. Hard game to read statistically, but if I vibe it, the Finns win. They win well. Bostock, Katoa, Fuller all play very well. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, look, all the matchups lie with the Dolphins. And, look, I think JMK is in for a huge game. Knights have conceded 71 points to opposed hookers. They've obviously conceded a lot of points to middles just in general. So there's matchups there for the front rowers. There's obviously a matchup there for Maxi Plath. So if you've got him, he's definitely going to fire up. If he's on waivers, which, look, he will be on waivers in a lot of leagues. Definitely worth picking him up and firing him up because coming off that 2-try game, he's going to be picked up in almost every waiver this week. I think he got a 94 or 95 or something. So he's not going to be available when the podcast drops this morning. But, yeah, it's It's a tough one. Trey Fuller's fantastic one to line up this week as well. I'm loving what Isaiah Katoa's been doing, man. This season is the Katoa season. I think we're seeing him grow into the player that he was tipped to be when he was at the Panthers. And I think, like, at the start of the season, didn't get picked in the round one side, but he's definitely shown what he's made of outside of that. So, no, I'm excited for this one, just to see how the Knights do perform. Like, having a full week of preparation with Dave Armstrong, and just see what they do put on the field. Because if it's a gutsy effort, I'm not fully putting a line through them. But, it's going to be a hard ask against a Finns outfit that, look, they've got middles for days. And, look, they're doing a lot of things well at the moment, especially tacking down that left edge. As an Asako owner in one league, it's been horrible to watch.
Yeah, just who would have thought? Who would have thought?
One of the most dominant right attacking teams have just gone, no, let's go left. Let's go left this year.
Let's sling it. And not only not like let's be a more balanced attack, let's just forget about the right altogether and attack all
exist.
Down the
it
left.
It doesn't exist.
So weird.
And the worst thing is Asako has a matchup as well, but we just know from an attacking sense he's just not going to get the ball.
No. Draft moves, like I said, Trey Fuller, Dave Armstrong, pick him up, see how they go.
Get him in your side, for sure.
I mean, if you've been listening to me on the Free Agent Frothies each week, I mentioned his name. I think I started to mention his name a month ago.
It
should be in teams.
It's like the Leo Thompson call that we were having at the start of the year. Just get him in. Yep. He gets does his job. Man.
That's it. I will say this though: the 94 or whatever he got is a little bit of a trap. If you take those attacking stats out, it's a 52 in 71 minutes.
But that's what we're leaning into is playing decent minutes and getting the base out.
For sure, yeah. For 100%.
We're not chasing 100%. That 94.
No, but some people will be. Like, people will be, like, see that 94 and get blinded by it.
Interesting one. Jaden Brayley. So he played 70 minutes round 6, 80 minutes round 8. Not a great PPM, but are you interested?
Yeah, for sure. I think he's back to that big minute hooker role, 70 plus minutes, maybe 80 minutes going forward. You saw on the weekend he played the full 80 and Phoenix Crossland rotated through the middle. I think that's what they do. And now without Kalen Ponga, you need another attacking-minded player on the field. Phoenix Crossland isn't that guy. Jaden Brayley's going to have to play big minutes, and he's big. I've brought him in my classic team. I moved Danny Levi to Jaden Brayley. From what I saw on the weekend, plus the Kalen Ponga injury, and I think he needs to be picked up in draft leagues as well.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think that's a good play. Hadn't actually thought about him in Classic. It was more just a draft play, but yeah, good call.
Yeah, cheaper than Danny Levi, so you make a little bit of money, and he'll probably continue to make a little bit of cash there above and beyond. I think it was like 350 or something. He was, Jaden Brayley, so still pretty cheap. Because I really couldn't make the move to Harry Grant yet.
Yeah,
so
need a bit of a stepping stone.
I did that move. In the top 1,000, just whatever. I kind of know my classic gear. Just a humble draft guy having a go this year. Whatever.
You wait, mate. You'll drop like a stone. Drop like an absolute stone.
I seem to be okay at it, if I'm honest. Let's can only look at the results and the stats and the ranks at the moment. Okay, so captaincy options in this one. Fuck all, really. Like, there's no one here.
I wouldn't be comfortable captaining anyone in this one.
No. Let's move on. All right. Fuck, this is the last game. Sunday, 4:05 PM, Raiders v Sharks, GIO Stadium. So it's all about the Sharks left, right? So they have the matchup in this one. They're humming. It's an absolute royal flush party for ATSs here. Ronaldo Mulitalo, your boy, what's the left half coming in? What's his name?
Daniel Atkinson.
Yep. He has a really good try-scoring matchup here. James Schiller has a really good one. So they're all popping up as fantastic try-scoring options. But it's Mulitalo for me in this one. He is a set-and-forget ATS play this week. He is a pod captain. In Classic, he is a captaincy option as well if you own him here. Schiller, 6 tries conceded in 4 games. Mully has 3 straight doubles. He could make it 4 straight doubles in this game. Obviously, Hines, you know, he's going to be big. He doesn't have a great statistical matchup here, but you know that the Sharks are going to put on points, and he's going to have his fingerprints all over every single attacking play that they put on here. So he could be up for another big one here. Hines, for the Raiders, without Fogarty, man, where does their attack come from?
Oh, and we were talking about it earlier, like the experience in the halves and the experience in their overall spine is just, it's atrocious. Like they've got no one to lean on. Like Denny Levi, who's been a bit of a journeyman, is the only guy that's really got decent experience in him. And look, Chevy Stewart, reasonable footballer. He hasn't really been given a good opportunity to.
They're all babies, bro. They're all babies. They're all young.
No one there that I can say, yep, they can steer the side around. There's no one there that can break a game apart. Look, Ethan Strange, like, yes, he did that really good run just to get him up the field to do the drop goal. But my God, I'm happy to put a line through Raiders. I just can't see where the points are going to come.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, the Milk, nothing excites me about. No one excites me from the Milk. The Milk's gone bad, dairy free for me. I'm not on it. Top matchups for you. What are we looking at here?
Surprise, surprise. They're all from the Sharks.
Statistically,
Carriero has a really, really good matchup.
Just a few Eskimo bros with really good matchups this week.
Lining up against Timoko, who we've seen have some defensive issues previously. Another one that stands up as a good option is Denny Atkinson. So he's coming in for White Line Fever. Another one, Hazelton, is a bit of a pod play to whack in your side as well if you've got him floating around, because there's a decent chance between himself and Blake Brayley he gets a bit of meat, because we know that he loves to get close to the line. I think there is going to be a bit of a tussle in the middle, and that's the only way that the Raiders will be able to get anywhere near over them. But I just think the kicking game is going to be the real key. They're going to miss Fogarty's kicking game more than anything. And I just can't see between Strange and Weeks whether they can get the job done from a kicking sense.
Yeah, the big boys from the Raiders, they do have a good statistical matchup here, and you would think they have less ball, so they're getting through a lot of defensive work, so a lot of base there. So, you know, Joey Tapine, our boy Adam Mariotta, Simi Sasagi, well out there on the edge. I mean, Adam Mariotta, one of our best scores of the season, if I'm honest, comes in, plays 59 minutes and gets 63 points. So, I mean, again, not a bad little free agent pickup. Put him in your side. I think he'll get good minutes. I think he'll get great base. But other than that, man, it's just all Sharks. I mean, you're looking at captaincy options, Mully and Hines.
Yeah.
Big, big captaincy options.
Yeah, definitely. It's I'd be scared if I was coming up against the Hines owner this week. That's for sure.
Yeah,
or the Molotalo owner for that matter. Right? It's
100%. It's heavy. Yep. Yeah. I've got both in classic, and I'm really thinking hard about captaining Molotalo as a pod captain.
That would be the biggest pod play, and if it comes off, you'll jump up the ranks for sure.
The only thing is. Yeah, the only thing is, though, you know that every kick, every pass is coming from Hines to Mulatalo. Yeah. So I don't think in this game Mulatalo can surpass Hines' score. So that's probably the issue. So I probably say, but it's like, if you want to get a little bit juicy, you want to get a little bit crazy, go a bit rogue, Mully has got a really good matchup.
Yeah, don't hate it.
All right, that's the games well and truly rubbed down. Let's get into the happy ending.
I got a boo.
Let me break it down for you so you understand. I'll hold your hand like a small child. Fuck. Oh, my God. Fuck, yeah.
Okay, just to sort of go through some of those waiver wire targets that we talked about. I mean, it doesn't really matter now. YouTube shit itself. But if you're listening to this and some of these guys are available, I mean, Trey Fuller, Max Plath, Isaiah Katoa, Dave Armstrong, Jaden Brayley, Brendan Piakura, Tom Chester, Semi Valamay, these guys from the Cowboys, not to start them this week, but obviously startable in coming weeks. Jason Saab, Corey Waddell. Yeah. That's probably about it, I think, mate. I think we got them all in there. All right, let's get into the matchup draft. So first up, obviously, we'll do the top matchups. And these are guys that the stats are just screaming at. I will go first this week. I'm going to go Jerome Hughes. Like, if you have Jerome Hughes, I'd be happy with you just putting the captaincy armband straight on him. Bunny's conceding the second most Supercoach points, makes this one of the best Supercoach matchups of the round. Bunny's left edge, leaking the second most, 68 points per player per game. So obviously that's their weak point, up against the Storm's right edge, scoring 60 points per game, per player per game. Their dominant attacking edge, making this the juiciest right edge matchup. It's a little Christmas box. It's Christmas morning. It's morning wood. It's wake up, look at your little stocking, open it up, and fucking Jerome Hughes is staring you right in the face. Bunny's leaking 69 points on average to right halves. That's exclusively to right halves as well. Green box, Renfro, Christmas morning, baby. On top of that, Bunny's leaking 12%. To right halves, which is huge. So usually we would look at halves like that, like a 10% is really dominant.
I've tried
to right halves. So like I said earlier, he is a nice little ATS play there. But yeah, VC at the very least, Jerome Hughes. He's got a fantastic
matchup. He's probably the pick of the bunch and pretty fucking annoyed that you went there. But I'm gonna use my picks. Looking at the rules, the cardinal rules of betting. So the first one for me, DWZ. So one of the betting rules that we've got is always bet on wingers lining up against AKP. Titans have conceded 73 points per game to right wingers. You mentioned this before, but I'll reiterate it again. Brian Kelly and AKP have combined for 14 try causes, 15 line break causes, and 36 missed tackles this season. So if he can't, like, and we've seen since C and K's come back that they are moving a lot of the ball down that right corridor. There is going to be more attacking opportunities down that right corridor, and DWZ is going to be on the end of it. And we've seen the defensive deficiencies that the left side for the Titans have. It's a perfect storm. This is a Christmas tree again. It's definitely one that, he'll be in my ATSs for sure this week, along with Hughes. And yeah, it's definitely one that I'm looking at very closely.
Yeah, he's a great VC option. Definitely. Great VC option. And especially if some of you guys have gone a little bit early on DWZ as a pod playing classic. Nice pod VC. That's where you want to do your pod plays, is your VC calls, right? And see if you can get one up on people that aren't sort of on the money. And this is where these stat sheets come in and pay dividends. So, yeah, I like that pick, bro. I mean, this one's pretty easy. I'm going to go Isaiah Yeo as my next pick.
I thought you were going to get
Yeah. I just have to drive home Isaiah Yeo so fucking hard. Panthers, fifth best attacking middle, 60 points per player per game, up the guts against the Cows middle, conceding the third most, 62 points per player per game. So very weak up the guts, the Cows. Panthers running with the best log at the moment. He's the best in the business. Yo, he's on a heater, 79 average, last three games, 72, 79, and 90 points. That's a tasty three-round average there. Cows are the worst team at defending the lock position, giving up 72 points per game on average. Set and forget captain choice this week, people. Don't need to overthink it. He's getting 70 plus points.
Nah, he's one of the safest picks you can ever have this season for sure. All right. I'm going to go from one cardinal rule to another. I'm going to bet on the player who's running at Morgan Harper. Now, looking at that, it's an ex-teammate, actually. It's Reuben Garrett. So Eels have conceded 80 points, 80 points per game to opposed right centers. And Morgan Harper specifically has had 10 line break causes and 22 missed tackles in six games. This is just him. And then you look at outside of him, Makasivo is not the best defender in the world. So you think shifting Simonson has created a better opposition? No, it's created a bit more of an issue in defense. And who does Garrick have outside of him? Oh, it's the fastest guy in the fucking league, Jason Saab. I do think there is a bit of meat going to be happening there, obviously for Saab, but I think Garrick's going to be there or thereabouts, of either offering an offload or just unsing more than Harper and just getting across the line himself. And look, I think this one is going to be a quite heavy score. And obviously with Garrick with the goal kicking, I think, he's definitely going to be getting a decent score in this one.
Yeah, I like it. That right edge for the Manly. Don't worry, we're not done with the Manly right edge, I'm telling you. All right, so that's our top matchups for round 8. Jerome Hughes, Ozzie, Yo, DWZ, Garrick, really good picks there. If you've got any of those guys, be assured statistically you're up for one. The stats are backing you in this week. So make sure those guys are either VC or captains this week. Right, let's get into the plug and play draft. So we're trying to get guys under 35% ownership here. Wooker, you can go first. What do you got for us?
I'm going to go for a guy who is equally bad at defending as he is in attack. Warbrick.
Let's see where you're going.
So if he's not scoring tries, he's conceding them. But the Bunnies have conceded 1.2 tries per game. That's 20% of all their tries conceded to right wingers. And for Supercoach scoring, the Bunnies have conceded 86 points per game to opposed right wingers. You add into the mix there that Jackie Whiten, you mentioned him at length before, he's been absolutely fucking diabolical in defense. He's conceded 9 try causes and 8 line break causes in just 4 freaking games. Like, it's outrageous. Mm. I do think that there is obviously going to be a bit more of an attacking threat through that right corridor. You mentioned that Hughes has a really big matchup there. I think on the end of a lot of Hughes' plays is potentially going to be Warbrick. And I think he's going to be plucking a few balls out of the air. I think he's going to be unsing either Jacob Gaygai or Tane Milne, whoever's lining up against him. And there's obviously going to be some issues with Whiten's defensive decisions, which open up a bit of space as well.
Ooh, lots of unsing this week. Plenty of unsing. Lots of unsing. Now, so you've handcuffed one of your plugs to
your matchup.
My matchup. So I'm going to handcuff one of my plugs to one of your matchups. I think I have Jason Saab here, and it's... Yeah, it's all the fucking reasons that you went through before. Eels conceded the 4th most Supercoach points, so it's a great matchup for Manly straight away. Eels left D, 3rd worst in the comp, giving up 61 points per player per game, up against the red-hot Manly's right attack, which is the 2nd best in the business, scoring 65 points per player per game. Manly scoring 53% of their tries down their right. Eels leaking 62 points a game to right wingers. 15% of tries go to right wingers as well. So you got Sivo and Harper out there linking arms in defense. That's very fucking worrisome. The boys should push through that like heading into your local fish and chip shop and just stepping on through the plastic curtains as you head on in to get your barramundi or your chips or your scallops or whatever you want. It's as easy as you like. There's tries on the board here for Jason Saab. He goes in and you need to start.
No, I don't disagree. It's just the best analogy I've ever heard.
plastic is it plastic curtains or PVC curtains? Yeah, I know the ones.
I just
push through them. That's Morgan Harper. Morgan Harper's just hanging in the breeze. He's not really doing anything.
I've not heard accuracy like that in a long time. It was unreal. All right. So you've gone your one. I'm going to go Trey Fuller in this one. And this one for me is a bit more of a vibe pick, but there's still a few stats that kind of back it up. But just watching Fuller in his backing up and all that, he looked awesome for a player that was kind of picked from obscurity outside of the top 30. They actually they requested from the NRL for exemption to bring him in because of the injuries that they've had. But coming up against a Knights side missing their talisman, missing their main man, missing, like, Ponga is the Knights in attack. And I think that they're going to be missing a lot in him in their in defensive structure. Because he's obviously setting up the line. Mm. And like it's an underplayed role in the fullback. And Knights have still leaked 76 points per game to fullbacks. And we know how much work is done with the Dolphins middle. So I think this is going to be a perfect matchup for a support player sniffing around the ruck, obviously coming through, picking up offloads from Nichols, picking up offloads from Kerr, who both of those guys are in some tremendous form. And coming off the ruck speed that you're getting with JMK, I do feel like there is going to be a lot to like about Fuller's game in this one.
Yeah, I like Fuller. I really do. And he'll be one of the guys that I'll be targeting on waivers this week for sure. Just get him in. Mm. Get him in for this game. I think he eats. Yeah, good pick. Now that you've picked him, I'll have to go. I'll go Dan Atkinson. Great 1 week play here. Good plug. Sharks, it's the left edge. It's the most potent left edge in the comp. 66 points per player per game. Raiders' right defense conceding the fourth most points, 59 points per game. So Raiders leaking 64 points a game to left half. 64.
That is fuck, wild.
That's a fair whack. And they're also leaking a whopping 16% to left halves exclusively. So that's tries. 16% of the tries that are scored against the Raiders comes from left halves exclusively. Like I talked about Jerome Hughes earlier, that 12% was big. 16% is fucking diabolical. Wild. So Dan Atkinson, lovely plug and play. Juicy little ATS as well. He'll be playing plus $5 there. So, yeah, bring him in. Give him a shot. He's halfback, fullback dual. That's tasty as well.
No, I really fucking love that one. Yep. It's a good plug.
Good plug. There's a good list there, bro. Yeah. Good plugs there. Warbrick, Fuller, Saab, Atkinson all deserve to be played this week. Yep. So I do like it. All right, let's talk about this week's bet. Because we do have a mandatory
gambling is a very serious business.
Care to make a wager on that?
I'm gambling again.
Wow, winning.
Challenge accepted.
So this week is the tribute bet. So the tribute bet is that you pick one spine player, one forward, one CTW. So three players. You have to play those players in your starting lineup. You can use the VC loop or captaincy points, and those three players need to be given anonymously to the commissioner so that you don't know what your opponent is picking. Interesting, a lot of strategic plays in this one. Who you play, it's one of the ones where you look at your opponent, you know, you look at who he has a halfback. Like if you're playing a guy that's got Cleary, it's a good idea to play your halfback in the tribute because you know that if you lose, your halfback's safe because he doesn't need your halfback. He's got Cleary. So it's a free play. It's also good if you've got space on your bench to start making some moves, get these guys like Saab, like Atkinson, like Fuller, India side that have really good matchups to try and win this bet. And then if you win, you can only pick a player from the list of tributes that's been given up. So, interesting times.
I've got a few.
It's a good bet. I like it.
To be fair, to have a side that I can actually put on the field. Otherwise, I'll be putting up the few tribute players that I don't necessarily want to.
It's good too because it's like to win the tribute bet, you have to captain one of your tributes, right? So all of a sudden there, you may have to make a decision between winning the round and winning the tribute. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, because your normal captain probably isn't going to be in your tributes. So you won't be able to captain him. You've got to captain someone else in your tributes, which could hurt your chances of actually winning the round. So, like I said, a lot of strategic plays, a lot of thinking about this. It's good gear. Good gear. I've got a team that's got a lot of good matchups. I'm lucky this week, which is good because I'm coming up against the guy that's getting all his players back. Like, he's getting Payne Haas back and fucking someone else back. So, yeah.
He's getting Cleary back.
But, I know. Yep. I'm pretty confident
when it comes to these sort of bets. So I don't think he's going to be putting up Cleary.
Yeah, he's definitely not putting Hayne, especially a Haas and fucking
because coming back from injury, Cleary, like, you're not going to be putting him up in a play bet.
Yeah. But no, I'm excited about it. It's going to be a good bet. I need to win bets. So good time. I'll be putting a lot of thought into my tributes. Don't worry about that.
Like, I've been thinking on two sides of the coin, and I honestly haven't decided which way I'm going to go. Whether I just go hard, or all guns in, or whether I just go no, I'm going to limp it in.
I'm going semi hard. I'm going to go semi hard. I'm going hard enough that if I lost any of the three, there'll be one in there that I won't care about losing, but there'll be two in my tributes that if I lose them, if I go in, it won't be big.
It's going to be Fifita Pappy and someone big. I'd love to see it if I do. But yeah.
I'd love to see it. I would love to see
it. It's up against Hale as well, so.
Last time I went balls to the wall, dick ahead of me, I lost Greg Marju. I'm a little bit tentative of going balls to the wall, but it is fun. That's the funnest way to play it, is just going all out. All right, bro, look, we have been here for way too long. We've had some technical issues. As I know, that surprises you, everyone listening at the moment, that we've had some technical issues. The YouTube shit itself. Yeah, Walker dropped out. It's just been a little bit of a nightmare. So no questions tonight, but we'll get on Patreon. We'll answer those questions and we'll get to them eventually. But I need to go to fucking bed, bro.
Yeah, so we'll answer those questions tomorrow.
Yeah, cool. And we'll try and fix the YouTube. I know a few people have already messaged me saying, oh, the YouTube fucked up. They're all on there watching. So apologies for the YouTube going down. Not exactly sure what happened there. Obviously, it's a connectivity issue. We'll do our best. You know that Walker and I aren't great at this stuff, but we're doing our absolute best
to get all this gear out for you guys. Sometimes best is not good enough.
It definitely isn't. It never is.
We'll be better.
We're just like that shit NRL team that's like, you know, never wins a game, but everyone just goes, but they try so hard, bro. Like, they're really putting in. They're gutsy. They're gutsy out there just putting in the hard yards. It's so ugly. Like, they're not good at football, but they're trying really hard. So you can't fault them.
Podcasting world.
That's us, bro. That's us. All right, let's get out of here. That's the final siren. Remember, there are many things we can do with this time. You're damn right, Walker. Catch us next round on the Weekly Rub Down.
You can take me down. I have seen it all.
Get that, India.
Tata and Bella.